It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a UW-Madison project that's working to fix local problems around the state is headed to Greene County. The project's director tells us how the university and local residents are working together to find some solutions. First, negotiations on the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, are moving forward between the United States and Canada after talks stalled in previous months. The relationship between the two countries has been contentious since the U.S. imposed tariffs on goods from Canada, and Canada retaliated with tariffs of their own. These talks follow a tentative trade agreement reached between the United States and Mexico. Adrian Morrow is the U.S. correspondent for the Canadian newspaper The Globe and Mail. Adrian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're seeing these late-night negotiations apparently between our two countries. What's the latest, Adrian?
Well, they basically negotiators were at it all night last night, and they were back at it again today. There's no deal so far, but I understand that they are getting quite close, that it's kind of down to a handful of issues, dispute settlement, access to Canada's dairy market, which is sort of the biggest, at this point, everyone seems to have identified as the largest demand from Donald Trump, and then intellectual property and online shopping and a couple of other things. So I understand, though, that the tone in talk seems to have been fairly constructive, and that both sides sort of feel like the other is sort of willing to play ball. Whether or not that actually leads to a deal in the short term is still to be determined, but the signs seem to actually be fairly positive at this point.
Now, we heard this news about the U.S. and Mexico reaching a lot of agreements just over the last couple of weeks now. Did that put the heat on Canada, this idea that, okay, the U.S. and Mexico could just have a bilateral deal, so long, three-country NAFTA?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Canadians would sort of deny it, and they'd probably claim that, they sort of understood that the U.S. and Mexico's need to kind of iron out their own issues. But the fact is that Mexico essentially, made an almost complete NAFTA deal with the U.S. and then even kind of adopted the U.S.'s messaging about, how Canada needed to get in, or there's a possibility that they'd move forward bilaterally. And so I think that has put the pressure on Canada. Certainly the U.S. Congress has kind of seemed to suggest that it wouldn't be too pleased to receive only a binational deal between the U.S. and Mexico, but I really don't think Canada wants to test that logic or actually, rely on the Congress to try to check Trump's trade agenda. So I think, yes, I think it has motivated Canada to really try to seek a deal.
President Trump, at least in his rhetoric, seemed to be making the case that we needed a drastic overhaul of NAFTA or get rid of NAFTA, have separate deals with each country, a big change. What are we seeing with the changes we know about? Is this minor tweaks or is this a big change?
Yeah, it certainly won't be the big change that I think Trump has sold it as, but it certainly is a Trumpian, trade deal in terms of certainly when you look at what Mexico agreed to. This is, it takes the trade relationship back, right? Where if you think of trade as trade relations over the last 30 years between the three countries as having been sort of a process of steadily opening the markets more and more and more, this is kind of a step back from that and saying that the market should be a little bit less closed. The main provision there is basically put in a bunch of micromanaging rules on the auto industry where they're trying to sort of dictate, where all the content comes from, and saying that 75% of all the content from autos manufactured in North America has to come from within North America, and out of that about 40 to 45% has to come from factories in where workers are being paid at least U.S. $16 an hour, which essentially puts Mexico at a disadvantage and advantages the U.S. and Canada. So it's a little bit of a turning back on the kind of open market between the three countries. I think that's sort of been Trump's goal. But that said, it's not nearly as drastic as what his opening position was. I mean, a year ago this time, they were talking about trying to impose a 50% U.S. content requirement on all autos made within NAFTA. So it would have forced basically Mexico and Canada to use, 50% U.S. parts in every car that they assembled. And that demands like that have kind of fallen away over time. So it won't be the really big overhaul that I think Trump wanted. But it certainly is a victory for him in the sense that it's going to be a bit more of a protectionist deal than it was before.
Talking to Adrian Morrow from the Globe and Mail, looking at the latest on NAFTA renegotiations. Adrian, it wasn't that long ago, really, in the scope of things that we had these steel and aluminum tariffs coming from the United States, citing security concerns. And this was something that leadership in Canada and the opposition party and the public, it seemed like, was really upset about. Have things cooled off since then?
I'm not sure that they have. I mean, the biggest change I think that we've seen is that when Trump imposed the tariffs, actually even before he imposed the tariffs, he basically said that they were entirely contingent on NAFTA, and so the notion was that once Canada and Mexico agreed to a NAFTA deal with the U.S., he would remove the tariffs. So far, that hasn't happened. Mexico basically made a deal with the U.S. last week and still has the tariffs in place. So I think it actually remains to be seen whether that's still that's still on the table, whether the final deal between all three countries, whenever that's concluded, if it's next week or the end of this month, whether that includes the tariffs being removed, because so far it hasn't. So I think that's sort of one of the big outstanding questions. And I think that if they aren't removed, those tariffs don't go away, I think that people in Canada are going to be disappointed. And I think it's going to be a very difficult thing for the Trudeau government to try to explain, to say we agreed to all this all these other things with the U.S. We kind of gave Trump what he wanted, which was a NAFTA deal that's a bit more protectionist, but we're still facing these tariffs. So I think that's going to be a huge imperative for Canada at the bargaining table. And at this point, it's not really clear if they're going to get there.
Let's talk about dairy now, an important issue for Wisconsin. Some Wisconsin dairy farmers at some points losing their Canadian customers over the last couple of years. From Canada's point of view, you've got this dairy arrangement that helps to keep prices higher for Canadian dairy farmers, which Wisconsin dairy farmers are a little envious of, I think. But those dairy farmers in Wisconsin want the markets in Canada. How is this a solvable problem?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it's one area where I think Canada is very much willing to give ground on, because they know that this is kind of the big thing that Trump is focused on. And rhetorically, you've listened to him in the last 3 or 4 months. His main complaint about Canada has been all on dairy. So so the Canadian bargaining team is well aware of the fact that they have to do something on dairy to get a deal, and they are willing to do it. What they're probably going to do is they won't actually dismantle supply management, which is basically the protectionist system that jacks up dairy prices in Canada in order to ensure a higher return for Canadian dairy farmers. Instead, I think what they're going to do is first of all, offer U.S. Dairy farmers a percentage of the Canadian market. They did something similar under TPP for Asian countries and under Canada's free trade deal with the European Union for European farmers. They'll basically give some sort of percentage to the U.S. and say, you can export up to this quota within Canada without facing the tariffs. The second thing they'll probably do is change the ultra-filtered milk rule, which was the thing that initially set Trump on this path of sort of going after Canada's dairy industry. It was basically a rule that it's a little bit complicated, but essentially it sort of took away a market in Canada for Wisconsin dairy farmers who are selling this product that's used in cheese making into the Canadian market. So Canada will probably change that rule to make it easier for Wisconsin farmers to sell into the market. And then there's a bunch of other sort of smaller stuff, some rules on ingredients, as well as I think the U.S. has accused Canada of dumping too much dairy product into the international market and pushing prices down. Whether that's actually the case or not, I think is debatable. But I think Canada's probably going to have to address that in some fashion. Within NAFTA to sort of please the U.S. So I think there's a whole bunch of stuff that Canada can do and I think is willing to do. We don't know exactly how far they'll go, but I think, I certainly get the impression that that Canada's going to do a bunch of stuff sort of short of actually dismantling the system.
Is there a risk of a political backlash in Canada if there are concessions made on dairy and supply management? Is it, if you'll forgive me, a sacred cow?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a funny thing in Canada, in the sense that all three parties, all three major political parties in Canada, are sort of wedded to supply management. Far out of proportion to who actually benefits from it. I mean, it's basically the Quebec dairy lobby that has kind of got all three political parties to sort of favor this system. And so I think if they give up too much, they sort of risk losing that constituency. Which is something that that the Liberals don't want to do, because because the dairy farmers do have some influence in some ridings. In Quebec in particular. And so I think that there could be some backlash there. That said, though, I think there's sort of a contrary school of thought in Canada, an argument that if you kind of sell this to Canadian consumers by saying, well, hey, this is just opening the market a little bit more, and this is going to lead to more competition, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, there could actually be sort of a victory there for the Trudeau government. But it's a question of whether they're actually able to make that case versus the Quebec dairy lobby, which may be unhappy with whatever changes allow more American product into the market.
So we're pulling all-nighters in these negotiations. What are you watching for in the coming days to see if there's a deal that both sides like, that the American president will still agree with his negotiators on, and this thing gets done?
Yeah, I mean, the dairy thing, of course, is probably the number one at this point to see, you know, if Canada goes far enough to please the U.S., and in particular to kind of really make Trump feel like he's got a victory here, and it's something he can sign off on. The second thing is Chapter 19, which is a dispute settlement provision that essentially Canada has used to overturn American tariffs on softwood lumber and some other products in the past. You know, that's basically the one thing that Canada has always marked as the red line in talks and said, you know, they won't sign a new NAFTA if it doesn't preserve Chapter 19. So I think that's going to be the other big one, that, you know, there'll be a question of, you know, does the U.S. Agree to that, basically agree to leave Chapter 19 in the deal, or, you know, or bargain it down to some other, you know, diluted, you know, form, but at the very least sort of maintain some kind of dispute settlement mechanism that Canada can live with. You know, there are a few other sort of, you know, a few other smaller issues on intellectual property and cultural, you know, exemptions for cultural industries in Canada that I think Canada's looking to see, but looking for in a deal. But at the end of the day, I think it really is, you know, dispute settlement and dairy that's probably going to make or break this thing.
Adrian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Adrian Morrow is the U.S. correspondent for the Globe and Mail. He was with us to give us the latest on ongoing NAFTA negotiations.